We are live today with my brother here.
Hello, hello.
Richard Tallis. Oh my God, I can't believe I got my brother, my older brother on the podcast, man. Yes. I had to bring him on. You know, he's not a stem cell expert, but he was a guinea pig for me in stem cell therapy.
Ouch.
And it's a pretty funny story. So I was like, dude, I got to bring you on because people got to know the behind the scenes of like when we get started with stuff or we're implementing in stuff. So caudal injection, people have been doing, spine docs have been doing it for a long time, but they weren't really doing it for stem cells. And not everybody knew how to do a caudal injection. So there was this really big stem cell institute that I've worked with and wanted me to supply them and all this stuff. And they were doing training. And so, you know, I said, hey, my PA doesn't know how to do this. So let's send them down there for training. So I needed somebody. I was like, first person I always call is like, if I'm donating product for research purposes, I know what the product can do. So I'm like, I'm always calling up my mom, my dad, you, you know, brothers, all the brothers. We got a lot of brothers, you know. I'm like, hey, let me do this on you, you know. So my brother, Rich, had back pain for many years. Yes. I mean, how long?
I say 6 years.
Well, you have way longer than that, dude.
I'm like saying severe? The most last 6 years is when it finally hit. Like I was
sciatic pain. You couldn't crawl underneath the houses and plumbing. He's a plumber, so you couldn't crawl under. You had to hire guys to do it for you.
It was just back pain, pain after pain. From
why do you
got
your news voice, dude? You got like a news voice when you go on the news, you go.
I wanted to be a sports announcer.
You should. You should totally go do it because you're like freaking amazing. Like, what? I can't believe every time I see you on TV, you're like, yeah, this is Richard Tallis. I'm here today, you know? And I'm like, I start laughing because you're always on TV and you do so well. I'm like, who the hell taught you how to interview?
You did.
Watching me. You do great, man. So you know what it is? You watch too much TV. You watch all those freaking, you watch the news.
Constantly.
Yeah, I know. So going back to your stem cell situation, I was like, oh my God, he has to come do this.
Yes,
it was. And I called you up and you were like, well, what does it consist of? You don't like needles. You don't like any of that stuff. So you're like, what is this going to consist of? What do I do? How's this going to go? And you were asking a lot of questions. I'm like, oh my God. I called up Denise and his spouse and I said, hey, you got to tell him he needs this. This is what he needs to do, and that's it.
She said, you better get up there and do it now.
You Rich, you better get, you're doing this shit. He's showing up. Kel, he's showing up. And I said, okay. I knew if I called Denise, then you're like, fine. So you guys meet me out there in Orange County. Yes, we go to this big stem cell institute. There's all these like NFL pictures on the wall. And I don't know. What else was out there?
Besides who was in the lobby was, you know, a bunch of.
Yeah, like
man, waiting to go back there and just waiting to get their injection.
Yeah,
so it was very interested. I was wanting.
You're
to
sitting
see
there with the stem cell box.
Yes,
perfect. I got a picture of you actually.
Well, can we bring it up?
No. You get a picture of this. It's actually on. I want to say it's on Revive Cells Instagram, and if not, it's on the Stem Cell Queen. My Instagram, but I have a picture of you with the box that day.
I thought
and
I'd
Denise
be in the
is
hallway
with you
or something with the rest of the.
No, no.
I kind of got mad at my brother and said, where's my picture at?
Oh, because you thought you were going to have that picture that was on Instagram on my
hallway. Yes.
No, dude, that's all celebrities. No, those are all, honestly, there's a lot of prominent people that are not on the damn wall. Everybody wants to be on the wall. Everybody that comes in is like, why am I not on the wall? Like Angela Magana is like, why is my picture so small? I'm like, oh my God, everybody needs a blown up picture of them on the wall.
I want a fat head. Of me right on the wall.
I'm going to get a picture of you when you got drafted, AAA, and you didn't go. So my brother's was a baseball player for many years. Yes. And
go Angels.
He is an Angels fan. Well, we all are. We're all Angels fans. Yeah, me and my brothers. Well, except one. Butch is the Dodger. But we always go to opening day.
Yes.
So we do Angel Dodgers. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
We grew up as a baseball family.
Yes, we did.
And I was the only girl on my mom's side with all brothers.
Yes.
So, and I'm the one that's like, I'm like the one that's probably the roughest, the one that fights the most, the one
jumps
that
jumps off planes.
that does the craziest shit. Yeah, I'm like, come on, dude. You guys are the guys, man. I was the only one that went to military. Yeah. So it's crazy. Yeah.
No. Probably the only one that shot a gun, because I haven't.
Yeah.
Never.
No, well, Raul shot a gun. Oh. But he's not better than me.
Oh.
He's not a better shooter than me.
Is that true, Raul? I guess not, that means no.
No. No answer.
No answer.
No, he shoots for fun. I shot like as a sport. Obviously, in the military, you like it after a while. And so that's kind of like what you want to do is like go to the shooting range and get better.
Yeah, it's like
start doing live targets.
We go somewhere and Denise is like, are you going to like pack a gun before we go anywhere? I'm like, oh.
Kind of guys were you with before?
She's like, what if we go camping and you're not going to have a gun? I'm like, I didn't know if you had needed one.
You're so funny.
So I guess now these days you got to carry one.
You got to carry a gun, man. Yeah. There's no if, ands, or but about it. You got to have a gun on you. San Bernardino County, where we're at, automatically gives you, they approve the permit for concealed weapon automatically because it's such a dangerous county. We've been talking about going to go get it because I just want to constantly carry one on me.
One.
People from Texas, like my boyfriend, they're always packing.
Oh, yeah.
Like Texas, they got that shit. Like I've been with doctors out there and they pull out guns. Like people cut them off and they're like, oh, he's getting in his car. They start pulling out the gun.
I'm why are you reaching down into your boot? Oh, I have a gun down there.
Yeah. Like they wear fanny packs, bro. You know, you go to Texas and you see fanny packs, you know what's in the fanny pack. Yeah, they're crazy with it. Wow, and they pull out guns on each other. They're not afraid. I've met so many people from Texas. They're like, yeah, I shot people. He came on my property and I told him to get up and I shot him. I'm like, what? It's not like California. But I have gone out, ran out of my house, chased somebody with a gun because they were shooting at my house.
Yeah.
I think you heard about that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they shot. They were like, they Airbnb down the street. And they shot. I woke up to like shots fired and I just see people like running into my property. You know, my ex hands me a gun. He's like scared. He's like, here, I don't know what to do with it. I was military mode. Like, and I was like,
give me that stuff.
Yeah, but you know, I was messing around in the shooting range with that gun and I had zombie bullets. They're expander bullets inside the gun.
Oh, wow.
So when I came out chasing this guy that went into the backyard, I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna kill him. And there was blood, trails of blood, because
I didn't know. Shoot, though, right?
I was ready to shoot. Oh. And it was close proximity because he had just jumped the fence. So if I would have shot him, I would have for sure killed him.
Oh, my.
And you didn't know. I didn't know if he was running from who had shot or if he was the person who was shot.
Yeah.
Or because of what I do in my line of work, I didn't know there was a party going on down the street and there was a big shootout. Like, I heard cars screeching on my cul-de-sac. And then I heard boom, boom, boom. And it was hitting my garage, like my house.
Oh, wow.
And then I, you know, look outside and I see men coming in with guns drawn. I'm like, they're breaking an entry. They're coming after me. I'm like over here.
Shooting.
We're working with cancer. We're working with stem cells. I'm like, oh my God, this is it. This is the moment. I went full military mode. I'm like clearing the house and shit. I walked out. I cocked the gun. I ran down and I fell asleep that night with a... two buns in my head.
Oh, wow.
A USC hoodie and Santa socks.
Because
it was like the only pair of socks. I have a thing where I can't wear mismatched socks. And it was like, I was like, oh, this is a good pair. So I put Santa socks on and I had sweats and it was a cold night. So when I ran out in Santa socks. No shoes, shit. Dude, it was quick. You know, it was like so quick. Thank God. I always tell everybody, like, if you got a gun, it's got to be loaded, ready to go.
Definitely.
Safety on. So took my safety off. I didn't even wait to see if one was in the chamber. I just seen it go, like the bullet go out. I went running downstairs and I turned around and told my ex, like, you know, get the kids, put them all upstairs in your room and let the dogs out.
He's probably upstairs.
It was like a movie. Like in my mind, I was like, let the wolves out. Like these wolves are going to come out. Like, you know, like they're training shit. Like, I mean, in my mind, I was like in another world. And I was super calm. And I remember him hyperventilating. And I remember my training kicking in. It was the scariest thing after to think about, but my training kicked in. I got super calm. My breathing, because when you shoot, you kind of hold your breath.
Yeah. I'd probably close my eyes.
You know, you
would miss.
Oh my God. I know people have done that.
I got him.
You'd close your eyes.
Get me, you know?
Yeah, they're still running towards you.
Yeah.
I would probably shoot them if they were far away. I'd probably shoot them in their kneecaps.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'd put them down like, bitch, you're going to live.
Yeah, right? You're going to suffer.
Fucking boom, there's your arm. Boom, there's your shoulder, motherfucker. You ain't lifting. You're a bitch now for the rest of your life.
Ow.
There's your kneecaps. Boom, boom. There's your hip. Boom. Like, if they kept coming towards me,
oh yeah,
I would be shooting all their joint spaces. I'd be like, that's
one by one.
You're fucking, that arm's coming off.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. Because, I mean, they're not going to come running after you if you shoot out their kneecaps.
Yeah, of course. You know? Of course.
Unless they're on drugs, then that's a whole nother story. Yeah. They won't even know they're shot. They're still coming. They get shot in the heart. They're still coming after you with that zombie shit that's out in the streets right now. That it's fentanyl crazy. Bullshit.
It's not the same anymore.
But anyways, before I forget and my ADHD kicks off, okay, let's go back to the stem cell thing. Oh. Okay, so you're at this stem cell institute, you know, and this stem cell doctor is crazy. He is crazy. Now I know. I don't work with him.
I was nervous.
He was crazy. You're always nervous, though. You're always scared.
I think your dad was next after me.
My dad went, and he was after you. We have different dads, but he calls him dad, too. Yeah, he raised him.
Of course.
And it's so funny because my dad is so willing. He's like, okay, mija. He's an ex-Marine. He's still a Marine, right? Yeah. He's always a Marine. But he was like, he's always so willing to be my guinea pig. He's like, wow. I'm like, does that hurt? No, I could take pain. I mean, doctors could do whatever him. He don't give a shit. He's like, take it like a champ. Even if it hurt him, he would never admit that it hurts him because he would just, he's like that.
Yeah.
He's but like, it fine. Hurt me. Like when he ripped off his whole freaking fingers and they got caught in the garage and he just rolled in a newspaper and went to the hospital, he sat there waiting. He's like, well, that person came first, bleeding out. I'm like, dude. And then finally he was like, hey, I think this is a serious situation. Like, opened it up and they're like, oh my God, sir. And like, rushed him to the back.
Yeah.
You know, he's, fingers and ice and shit. saving his finger, they reattached it.
When it comes to a cut, didn't complain. I'm a big wuss. Big wuss.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I hate pain.
But you're a big crybaby. We always say that. I always make fun of you.
It's a big pain. I don't know why. Now that I'm older, it hurts more, seems like, for some reason.
Well, they say men with higher testosterone actually are very sensitive to pain. So it could be that you're high to testosterone, and that's why. But I don't think that you're high in testosterone, because you're a little... Just kidding.
She didn't mean that.
No, we always mess around, me and my brother. Like, I love it. I'm close to all of you guys, all my brothers, like, different, in different ways. Like, if it's somebody that I can call who's always down for shit, it's you and Denise. Like, if I'm, like, pissed off at the world and I want to just, like, check out and like go on vacation, I call you guys.
Oh, let's go.
And you won't talk to me for like 2 weeks and I'll be like, hey dude, can you just cancel all your customers, cancel everything? Can you come to Orlando, Florida with me and go to Walt Disney World?
Flip the clothes, you know, it's closed. Sorry, we're closed.
He's like, sorry, closed. And he's on the phone. I'm sorry, dude, I can't do that till next week. Yeah. I'm sure there's like shit flooded all over the fucking floor.
Should we and you're go like, snake dude, a you drain, can, yeah. Or should we go on a plane?
You know? Yeah. Like, oh. And you're like, come on, I've never been to Walt Disney World. It's like, grab the kids.
I had a good time. That was fun.
Yeah, and then you guys just jumped on the plane. We were like, ready to go.
To this day, I'm like, I can't believe we went over this.
No, you were like a little kid. You were like, it was like your dream come true.
Are you serious? We're going? And she's like, yes, you should just call. Let's go back. I'm like, okay, let's
do it. Yeah, Denise is so down. I think she knows how crazy my life is. She's like, whenever she could be around me, she's like, Kelly's calling. Let's go. We're out. Disneyland. Yeah, I'm like, amazing. Oh, my God. But no, you guys are always down. You know, Raul's always there for me until 5 p.m. And then 5 p.m., he's like,
he shuts down.
I got a family. Don't call me. What are you doing? It was like when we were trying to like do film and shit, like after hours, he's like, my wife will kill me. I can't.
Yeah. He's on a time limit.
So,
you know, one of those.
And then it's like, he's got a schedule. So it's like, hey, do you want to go? It's like, I can never just tell him to like get up and go somewhere. It's always like, well, I can't actually.
It's not planned.
It's not planned. He's not, you know, that's, I think that's, everything stresses him out. If he can't see if it's not planned, he's stressed out.
Yeah.
So I know how to work with him, but I'm super close with him because he's like my baby brother that I work with every single day. He's the closest to me. He's probably like the most protective over me in that sense, but he would never kick somebody's ass. He always says, I kicked that motherfucker's ass, but he'll never kick their ass. You're like, when you say,
is that true, Raw?
Cal, do you want me to handle it?
I don't know. I might kick your ex-husband's ass.
He kind of pushed it. I think all of you guys are on the verge of kicking his ass. Yeah,
I think my son, too.
All of them. He's actually, so trip on this. This is some undiscovered news that just came out on New Year's. Yeah, I am going to say it. On New Year's weekend. So I find out that my ex-husband is dating my once niece. So she used to call me Auntie Cal. And then she would always be like, I want to be like Auntie Cal. Auntie Cal, I want to get a BBL like you. Auntie Cal, I want to do this with you. And she didn't really speak good English. She's like, straight bisa, you know? And she's like, and Rich, my nephew, who's my brother's son, okay? He looks just like him. Wow. And it was like, I helped raise him. Like, they were my babies, you know? Lexi and Rich, when I had no kids, there was no kids in the family. Your two kids were the two kids that we raised, you know? Yeah. It was like, I busted my ass off to help raise them.
Yeah.
And so Rich and Lexi would always come with me. You know, at one point they all lived with me when, you know, they were going through the whole, like, I'm an adult now, I'm moving out, I'm getting mad at mom and dad. Yeah. They moved in with me. It was like Auntie Cal taught them how to drive. It was like Auntie Cal helped them with their debt. Auntie Cal, like, there was Auntie Cal, you know, all the time. And so this is my nephew. My nephew calls me and he's like, that fucking bitch, my ex, you know, she's dating your ex-husband and both of them are sick. And I'm like, oh my God, this is like right when you think you could get, like, it can't get worse. Like, my family's, I've been like moved on. Like, you know what? I'm not going to let him affect me. He's doing his own shit. I'm not going to judge because he's got his issues. Just let him be. We got a co-parent. And then all of a sudden it's like another thing. And I'm like, okay, guys, you know, it doesn't end with him. No. And it's like, you have a billion people to date in the whole world and you want to date a family member, even if they're not together. Yeah, it's like, disgusting, because that was once your
like
niece.
The neighbor.
It was once your niece.
Yeah.
And so, like, for me, their kid is my great nephew.
Yeah.
Like, and so my kids are going to be what? How does that work? What is that?
I haven't talked to my son about that
yet. They're not cousins. He called me up. He's pissed. Did he? Oh, he keeps calling me up. I was flying, I don't know where, and I knew the call was going to come in. Because I was like, I'm not going to say shit. Let him date whoever he wants. You know what? You dig a hole. You're going to bury yourself in it.
Are they still dating?
I have no idea. I don't pay attention. I wasn't going to bring it up to him. And quite frankly, actually, a divorce court called me up today. And they're like, ma'am, we're going to go and do mediation separately because we went ahead and did that for you. And my attorney tried to, like, I don't know, do what on his own. And he was like, you know, you got to go in. When she called me in, I was like, well, thank God I had to go in because I didn't give a shit. I didn't show up to two mediations. I'm like, I don't want to mediate with him. I don't even want to talk to him. I make the nanny deal with him. It's one of those things of, like, there's...
Oh, watch out. He might get the nanny.
He might get my nanny. She's hot too, dude. I don't know, dude. He likes them young, apparently. My nephew's like, I'm like way older than this girl. I mean, she used to call me Auntie Cal. It's a little weird. I heard that he's buying her like red bottoms and like flowers every week and all this shit, right? But what she doesn't know is he's broke.
Yeah.
So it's all credit card debt because I'm getting all the credit card bills.
Well, send him the bill.
Not he doesn't even. I'm like, dude, can you mail forward already? You know, like, this is crazy. But then my daughter Heaven is like, I'm like, Heaven, did you know about this? Because she would still go with him, and she's like, yeah, Amy's his girlfriend. She's been coming around, and I'm like, oh wow, okay, honey. Like, what am I supposed to say? You know, I'm like, it is what it is. And if they want to be together, insane. Go be happy, go be together. But the problem is that the family. Like, they don't understand how many families. Like, this wasn't even just me getting involved, me calling people around. I didn't call nobody to say anything. People were getting involved, like, from Arizona, like, Rich's family, like, extended family. Like, he's got an uncle that's in the UFC. Like, those people got involved. They all want to kick his ass. Dude, the UFC people next door found out about it. They're like, we're ready to, like,
launch,
you
know,
dude. And then you called me up. And when you said the whole, like, Cal, you want me to handle him? Yeah. I was like... Dude,
well,
you know
I
what?
Was like working
Denise is like, I'm
dude,
ready
you gotta
to handle
check
her.
This out. I'm like, what? She's like, okay, sit down, relax, breathe. Then before I tell you, I'm like, what? And then she's so like, oh no.
But you know what? Somebody told Raw told me, Raw goes, on a serious note, he's like, they do that in Mexico. The cousins are with the cousins.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I go, what in the hell kind of autistic shit is that? Because that's what they do in, they do that in a country. God, I was going to go take stem cells out into there because they got so, autism is such an issue because like first cousins, second cousins are together and then they have babies and, you know, yeah, it's just weird. I mean, obviously they're not, related. Utah. Right? Those are, oh my God.
Am I right, bro?
Utah, they do that shit?
And you're talking about the Mormons?
Yes.
Yeah. Dude, hold on. Mormons aren't together like that, are they?
Yeah,
five wives, six wives.
Yeah, but the wives aren't related.
Oh yeah, I don't know if they like date their cousins or
anything. Well, yeah, no,
but they're having babies.
This is different because this is like in Mexico, cousins will date and get married.
So they're having all kids and like a husband.
It's very normal. It's very normal in Mexico for like I just heard it this past week. Somebody was telling me this, Vicky was telling me, one of our nurses, that the neighbor, had five kids with this guy and then the guy left the neighbor for her sister. And it's like, I can't ever imagine being in that situation, you know, but we see it often in the Hispanic community. I don't know about the others, but we're Mexicans. So we see that shit. And I'm like, the fucking who was with the who? And we see that shit too, you know, like in like distant family. And you're like, wait, whose uncle was with the grandma? Like the some shit, like, oh my God. You know, I try to, honestly, when I moved to Rancho, I moved away from that shit. I never thought it would happen to me with somebody that never showed me any indication that he would do something like that. But the fact that, like, I don't know if he did it to just try to hurt me or if he did it because he really was attracted to this, like, 20-something-year-old, whatever. Like, I don't think she's that hot. Like, you know, no. I try to put myself, because I grew up with guys. So if a girl's hot, I'll be like, she's fucking hot. Like,
yeah, but
I don't really feel like when I look at her, I'm like thinking, what does she have to offer?
Lonely.
How do you? Yeah, but you know, there's a lot of, be with a stripper if you're lonely. You'll have more fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're seriously. You're better off being with your mom's friend.
And then if you're
friend,
in debt.
Your mom's friend.
If you're, yeah, you know what right? I mean? Like, I would have rather if him, like, I would have rather him.
Girlfriend.
I would have rather him like hit on my best friend and been with my friend. You know what I mean?
Well, if because, you think about it, you
but like that—that's
so
a little
that was
different.
Because
he's trying to be with
so
her in
that,
a serious way.
That's his uncle. So that's like his uncle being like his nephew.
I can't right? even keep track, honestly. Like
you guys
this to
married,
me when I found
so
out,
Uncle Sam.
That's Uncle Sam.
Yeah. Uncle Sam.
Uncle Sam's
you.
Fucking you again, yeah. man. Fucking Uncle Sam's at
God,
it again.
Sam.
No, this was like Little yeah. Sam. So my brother is like, yeah, that's the one person he's like, I'm ready to fuck him up. Like he's been like ready to fuck him up. Every time he sees him, he's like, I'm gonna fuck him up. But yeah. You, on the other hand, like when you say on a serious note, you're like, do you want me to fuck him up? It's funny because you're being serious about it. You're like, do you want me to handle it? Like you don't care if you get your ass kicked or what, because you've had the background of being in jail. Like
and
you're used to fighting. You'll get your ass kicked. You don't care. You're like, I'll go handle that shit.
I think you get more respect when you get your ass kicked.
Well, that was your son.
You
he was a cop.
Well, then you do when you do if you beat
my
somebody
nephew,
up.
The
you
one
get
that
more respect if you get
actually,
your ass
you know what? I think she fucked up. I think they both downgraded because my nephew was a cop. My nephew's got like he's got a great job. He's got a great personality. Yeah. And then how do you go be with that? Like I'm sorry, but he's become so unattracted to me.
The restaurant at the time.
My brother's laughing over here. Oh my God, that's so funny.
So,
honestly, I'm not the type of person to talk shit at all, but this is a situation that just keeps getting crazier like by the day. And then I'm a public figure. So it's like, I see these things and I'm like, I'm not going to engage, dude. But then everybody's blowing me up. Did you see this? Yeah. Oh my God. I'm like, honestly, I don't know what to say. Even my boyfriend was like, dude, that's a little weird. Like,
it's crazy.
I would be pissed if I was you. You know, like, you have every right to go off on him. Like, and I'm like, I'm not going to give him the benefit of doubt. Even see me. Like, the nanny's going to have to deal with this shit because I'm not.
Alexis, did you know about this? What? I said, Lexi, I'm going to ask you one more time.
Oh, no, you did call my niece.
No, I said, Lexi.
But you know what? Lexi has gone through that shit too with Rich.
I know.
And
so
it's like,
that's what I said too after. I'm like,
you know, these, like, I, you know what? I can understand that happening maybe with like some young kids fucking around doing some shit. It's but like
now you gotta leave your spouse at home.
He's gonna be 42.
I'm going to my mom's for Christmas. You stay home.
He's never even met her and was introduced to her at any point. So he met her online.
I never met her.
I actually was gonna hire her to be a medical assistant here at my institute. Like, that's what's crazy. Right. I know what she makes. She don't, like, it's like, what do you want from her?
I only met her on the phone. That's it.
I met her in person. She could barely talk English. And I told Rich, I said, how do you talk to her? You don't even speak English. Rich, my nephew was wearing, like, cowboy boots. And all of a sudden, he's like, she could cook. And I'm like, well, that's cool, I guess. You know, and that was the trade-off, is that I wasn't that woman. I have nannies. I have housekeepers. Yeah. You guys know you come into my house all the time. And you see people there all the time. And, you know, I need all the help. But whether he was there or he wasn't, you had to come and fix my shit.
Yeah.
You were the brother that came and fixed everything. If I need a painting, he would just walk by. Don't move that. Like, who the fuck are you? If I told him to move that shit, he's moving that shit. Like, brother, do what you need to do. You know, it was like a weird situation, and he never supported the stem cell thing or whatever. But yeah, like, I knew that you would have probably brought that up. I mean, honestly, guys, this was not pre-planned, because it's not that I'm not the type of person that I want to hide anything, because I am like fully an open book, obviously, doing this podcast. Like, everything and anything's going to come out. People are going to see the real me, and that I'm a real person, and that we have fucked up family members. Yes. Like, I got my shit together, and I will tell you, I don't waver. You guys see me, my work ethics.
Yes.
You see how I am with you guys and family. I draw the line. I'm like, I'm at work, and work is work.
Yeah.
I fired how many brothers? Like, well, work with me. I fire people, you know?
A lot.
And even your wife's like, oh, Kelly's not messing around, dude. She's pissed, and I'm not going to piss her off. Like, when I tell you, hey, you need to show up from work, you better show up for work.
It's I thought about it, too, when I came back. I was like, she's all, you better get back with us. All right. I said, well, we have time, and let's go.
Yeah,
We rushed back.
No, and not only that, thank you for coming on.
I wanted to come on here.
Well, there's a couple of things we wanted to talk about, and we keep veering off, but I want to go back to the stem cell thing, because it's a funny situation. Okay, so you're at this stem cell institute. Let me paint the picture. You're at the stem cell institute. You're sitting in the lobby. Denise is so supportive. She's like, babe, are you okay? Is everything okay? I'm walking back and forth in the back with the doctors doing the training and all that stuff.
100 times I said, should I do this?
All the time. And Denise is like, you're doing this. Your sister's paying for it. You're doing it. This is thousands of dollars treatment. You're getting your back redone. And so you were all for it. We bring you in the back. You come back by yourself. They got you on this table that is like,
there's like five of them.
There's like so many rooms back there. And the doctor is old that's doing the training. He looks like Kramer from fucking Seinfeld, but like a 70-year-old version. His hands shaking and shit. And I'm like, is he going to be able to teach my young PA this shit?
Put your pants down. I said, all the way down? No, put your pants down.
And then he's like, put your pants down. And then I said, oh, fuck, I'm going to see my brother's ass right now. Whatever. I don't care. This is a medical exam. We're getting this fucking coddle done. We're getting the training done. So then you're like literally pine. And they got this, the half things that go underneath you. They lift your butt up in the air.
Lean over bench. Yeah.
So his butt's in the air. His pants are pulled down. And these guys are training with his ass cheeks just out. Like, you know, this is not the typical situation of how we treat a patient, you know? Like, we got you in the back and we're talking, we got the ultrasound out, we're like, oh my god, that's such a cool ultrasound, like, whatever. My brother's like, sister he keeps saying, we call each other brother and sister, so he's like, sister, and I'm like rubbing his back like, Rich, you're gonna be okay. You're gonna be fine. I'm rubbing him. I'm like, dude, hurry the fuck up, because dude, my brother is not gonna make it through this shit. And he's just upside down with his little face on the bottom peering through.
Well,
these guys didn't tell me that they ran out of lidocaine. I would have brought it from my clinic. They didn't tell me that they ran out of lidocaine. You didn't know what was going on. I didn't know. Richard, the PA, who's been working with me since 2018, had no idea. We've been working with stem cells for a long time. We know that stem cells don't hurt.
They clean the area, but I thought maybe it was going to get numb for a minute, but no. He just said, breathe, and I said,
okay, hold on. Let me just put a warning here, okay? When we do caudal injections, they don't hurt, okay? They do not hurt. Dr. Jason will go in, because you can't mix lidocaine with stem cells. He'll go in underneath the tailbone, okay, into the space. You see it on the ultrasound. And he only injects lidocaine into the entrance. So the spine needle that goes in is way longer than that. Where the stem cells go, the lidocaine doesn't go, but it doesn't hurt once he's in. So you feel like pressure. So a normal injection like that, if you came back to us and did it, you would be able to walk out. No pain. Nobody screams. I've never seen that shit ever. But this doctor, that's this stem cell doctor, is something else to have done this. And then to have done it to me, the stem cell queen's brother. Here I am with the freaking box and the stem cells and my brother, who I love so much. And you're screaming like, sister. So as soon as they inject, he's flaring up, dude. It's hitting nerves. And my brother's screaming like, sister, the whole clinic can hear. I'm sure Denise can hear outside in the lobby. He's screaming bloody murder, like his back's going back like this. He's like, sister. And I'm like, oh my God.
It's okay, brother.
Well, I'm trying to tell you to breathe because I'm like, what the fuck are you guys doing to him? This ain't supposed to happen. I seen these cuddle injections. This ain't supposed to be like this. And they're like, the guy's like, well, we ran out. It's okay. It's going to be okay. And so... Yeah, like they ran out of lidocaine and then they said it was only going to hurt. So this guy's trying to sell me a laser. Literally, he's like, oh, the lasers. He's like, this is why you need the laser. Picks up the laser, right? And it's like, I don't know, like maybe 5 seconds of flaring up freaking nerve pain that this one's like screaming hours. Through. Oh he takes the gun, right? And it's like this thermal gun that moves blood flow. And he's like, this is why you need the gun in your clinic. It's like $35,000 gun. And he's like, this. And then I hear my brother go, oh God. It feels good, right? It's like the pressure's going. And he's like, see? And I'm like, did you intentionally do this to sell me your thing? But he was fine. He walked out fine. He had major results.
Oh, major.
So let's kind of skip, major. Even though it was funny, because Denise was ready to break down the door and come out there and find you, hearing you freaking screaming. And then
your dads are. Are you okay?
Yeah. My dad's like, I don't know if I want to go do that after that. And Rich comes out and he's like, fuck, I'm never doing that again. I'm like, I didn't even want to tell my brother, like, dude, this is what we did wrong or whatever, because I swear it doesn't hurt like that. I've never seen a patient scream.
And how big was that needle? It was pretty big.
Like, the spine needles are like this long and they're 18 gauges. They're pretty big. But when you lidocaine, you know, if a patient even says like, ow, 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 like the doctor will say, okay, he'll pull out and he'll light them more. And then they go in more. And then they're like, they don't feel nothing. Like the only thing I see a patient say is like, oh, I feel pressure. And they're like, they think it's going to become more, but it's just because they're pushing into that space and they feel fluid going in. But the stem cells will go into that spinal fluid. My God, it goes up and down. That's why we put you
bad ever since.
It's been amazing. How long did it take? You couldn't go under a house. How long? You were sciatic pain, crying every day, laying on the floor, making your kids walk all over your back. That's why I wanted to bring you on, because I was like, spine case, man. I mean, you just did a call. We did 1 mL, 8 million cells umbilical cord. Though. You are. You've been talking about it because you've been crawling underneath the house all over again. No, so I get it. We'll get you taken care of. And it won't be the same. You're going to see the difference, and I'm going to need to get a video and post the video since everybody's seen this of the before and after difference of you getting spine. Because people
whatever
are always
it takes
scared.
To make the hallway Hall of Fame.
It's not going to be the same. It's going to hurt more.
No, don't say that. My other brother right true? There. It's going to hurt. He's such a jerk.
Is it true?
No, it does not hurt. Right? You scare him, and then you say shit like that, and then he believes you.
I'm ready to do another one.
Yeah, I know. I know you are. And then, so like it lasted for how long? Well, first of all, I guess I should say, how long did it take to get the results for you to even crawl under? Because I remember you calling me like 24, 48 hours.
Yeah,
like.
It was.
And you were like,
I felt
dude.
A lot of energy. It was like a boost, and like I can run and I can do push-ups. And
I think you just move better.
Well, yeah, I was like be able to crawl underneath. When I first crawled underneath there, I was just like, you know,
yeah,
like
I remember the first time you called me, like, dude, I crawled under. Because you were you're a plumber. You own a plumbing company that's called Breakthrough Plumbing and Router.
Yes.
And so this plumbing company that you've been running for, how many years have you been a plumber
now? Well, I've been a plumber for 13 years and I'm going on my own 7th year.
Yeah.
This will be the 7th
And then we
year.
Talked about partnering so I could blow you up because I'm a business girl. And you're like, dude, blow me up. I'm like, are you ready for this? Because you'll be... You could barely handle what you handle now. Right. And you have days where you're like super busy and then days where you're not. But the thing is, once you start doing ads, you have to hire people underneath you. Yes. And I'm a business girl, so like I know business, you yes. know? And so like I see your company, I'm like, oh yeah, I could totally, you know, you should be getting calls. But the problem is that you have to start pushing the money off and you got to know how to handle the business or you reach failure and then get like 3 stars and then you're fucked as a business owner. Yeah. So it's good to like gradually grow your business and gradually, you know, increase your wealth versus just setting yourself up for failure. So yeah. I don't like doing that. I understand that like it's not always good to have like a packed out clinic that you can't handle. Yeah. Same thing for plumbers.
Sometimes I got to watch what I pray for because I ask for work and sometimes it's just overwhelming.
Yeah. Cause you're like, and then you're like me when it comes to work, you take it all.
Yes.
You're like 48 hours, all no sleep. No. Like me.
Because I'm not, I don't know what
when it's going to come again.
Brings yeah. again or so. It's
like, I'm like, I'm not turning down money.
No,
I'm not going to turn down a patient. I'm not going to turn down a clinic. I'm not going to turn down showing up. So I show up to everything. And then when I show up, you know, I'm like, I think this past 2 weeks, my skin has just broken out so bad because I've been flying. Every time you call me, I don't answer. How many times you call me and I haven't answered? This is the first time I've seen you in I don't know how long and I have not answered, 12 calls of yours? I'm like mom, I text last night.
After the third call, I call my mom.
Yeah.
Where is my sister at?
Yeah. A lot of people think I just ignore the phone call because they're calling me and I'm like, haven't got back to them. I have like very prominent people. I have very prominent people that, and I have 3 phones right now. It always changes, but like right now, like maybe next week I might have 4 because one of the phone lines gets handed to me or whatever. So I carry the biotech line and because I let go of my assistant, which was my cousin, Priscilla, which is really hard.
Barbara.
I love her.
Barbara.
I love her, love her, love her. But I am running a company and I had to do what was right. And yeah, I try to deal with the situation correctly. But sometimes it's very difficult to work with family. As you know, I fired my own brothers.
Yeah.
So I threaten my mom all the time. I'm like, you want to act up? I'm like, send your ass home. She's like,
are you scared, Linda?
I work so hard. I'm like, okay, mom. All right. Already, you know, but like, I'm just like, when it's business, when I come into my office, I'm like, I don't care family or not. This is job. I need it done. Like,
yeah.
If it's you and somebody else, the job is the job.
Yeah.
So,
when
we're off of the job, you know, but then I also understand it's just hard to work with family in general because I also ask more of them than a regular family member.
Me and Denise bump heads a lot.
Like a worker or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
But it is very hard to work with family, but I also have tried multiple different things. I've thought I had friends, small circle, like accountant. She screwed me over, dude.
Oh, wow.
Like 5 years undercover, secretly hating me, secretly just being manipulative and like fucking my shit up. And I'm like, why would you do this? And she's like, because I can. And I'm like, evil. Like, God, what are people doing? So now my circle is like, people want to know where are you getting your stem cells? What are you doing?
Check.
What is like, what's going on with the military contracts? Who's she talking to? Right. They try to like find out everything. So now I just have my mom and my brother as my close circle. And then obviously my top medical staff, which Jason is like, I only share things with you. I only share things with you like I do through Denise, like I did last night, because you get so excited and then you like want to tell the world. And I'm like, Denise, she's like, I'm not going to say nothing.
No,
you
know, she didn't. Like, she just told me.
Yeah. She told me, but she said not to say nothing. So she tells you, but then you say something. I'm like, okay, but it's totally okay. I know it doesn't go anywhere with you guys.
I have a secret too.
What? You can just talk it in the mic.
I have a secret too.
What?
I got Denise a ring.
Shut.
Yes.
Up. You got her a ring finally?
Yes.
Oh my God. Yes. What the heck? Dude, that has been okay. My brother has been with Denise since
21 years.
21 years, yes. Dude. And it's a funny.
And
funny relationship, okay? Because they fight like cats and dogs, but they can't be without each other.
No.
But they love each other, but Denise just loves my brother the way that like I love my brother. So she's like, she went through the years of him going through his shit like a mom. Yes. And she's like, I'm not your goddamn mom, but she was like being your mom. But I was like, you deal with him because I'm not dealing with him. My mom was like, I don't want to deal with him, you know? she really pushed through and just really fought for you.
Yeah.
And then that's so awesome that that you finally did that.
She'll show you the picture later.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
She's not wearing it because it's getting size to her size.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like 3 weeks or something.
Oh my God, dude, it's finally.
I wasn't going to say nothing. I only raw knew.
Oh my God.
So I was going to wait till she got it. That way everyone could, I mean, at least
I'm so excited. I'm so excited, like, honestly, because it's just been forever. I always say your spouse because, I mean, you guys are, like, married,
so
dude.
You guys
can't be together. I mean, I remember the days when you would, like, get drunk and me and Raul would go freaking pick you up.
Yeah.
And then Denise's like, I'm calling the cops on you. And then you'd be like, call the cops. And you would take off and you're like, oh, my God, we would have to go get you. And then you'd be in the back of the car crying for Denise. We're like, dude, she wanted to put you in jail. I don't know how many times you tried to get you and Denise away from each other. And she's like, Denise, I'm like, fuck, Denise wants to put you in jail and you want to fucking cry for Denise. And it was like, there was no keeping you guys apart. And then I remember when you guys first started dating, you were living with me. So I was really taking you under my wing. I was like, you're not doing this. I was like the older sister.
Yeah.
I was like, you're not fucking doing this. You're working at this real estate thing. Yeah. I got you all suited up.
And you're going to stay away from her.
And I'm like, you're fucking staying away from this girl and you're not fucking going over here. I literally, and then you'd be like, hey, drop me off over here because you had the DUIs. And they're like, drop me off over here. Then all of a sudden I go to pick you up. I'm doing my own shit. I drive by, it was on the black Jetta.
Yeah.
And I come by and Denise is with you holding your hand and you're like, can I bring her home? I'm like, who the fuck is she? Like, no, she's not coming home. And she's like, that bitch, she's an Asian fucking mean sister. Oh my God, I laughed so hard because like everybody thought I was Asian and I wasn't. I was Mexican, but you were like, why? But I like her and I want to bring her home. And I'm like, because I said no, get your ass in the car now. And you were like, fine. You get in the car and the whole way home, like a little kid, just like pissed off. I was like the older sister, you know, for so long.
I lost her.
Took my mugshot and I'm like, so apparently we all have our mugshots except Raul. Raul's a goody two-shoes.
I had a customer the other day. Lives in Chino and he's
He's like a
he's
not a sheriff. He's a
gang in the gang.
Oh, he's like Cal gang. I used to work Cal gang unit.
Gang unit, whatever. And he goes to Sacramento back and forth. Yeah. Does all that and.
So you're plumbing.
I'm doing his plumbing and stuff. And then the next day,
he's like. You've probably seen your tattoos. He's like, those are chill tattoos. Hey, bro, we know them.
He's all, you remember this picture? And I was like. So he went and my old 2008 mugshot.
He had pictures of you. And you're like, dude.
Do I still get to do the job? You know,
he's like, whatever.
It was over it. It's like,
honestly, I think that's why.
That was the last time.
I don't judge anybody. Because I realize, like, talking to some of these doctors and, like, the people that I work with, like, we all have family. We all have our story of how we became successful or smart or whatever it is. So I don't judge nobody.
No.
Like, I let things go. And I'm just like, whatever. Because of that. Because I know how far you've came. And I know your background of, like, the DUIs and just, like, trauma and just like how you dealt with it and then like going to prison and I was there for you. Like I would go up to what is it, Silverwood and go take you McDonald's and shit and I
you remember that, huh?
Yeah, I do. And I remember they would allow you to come out to have your visits.
Yeah.
And I'd go up to the prison and go visit you and go take you McDonald's. They had the dogs that you guys got to work with. You were a fireman. They trained you to be a fireman. And then all of a sudden I start getting fucking letters from his friends in prison. I'm like, who the fuck
he was
are these
actually
guys?
He was actually a
they
professional
wanted
baseball player.
Really?
Yeah, for the Mets.
That's crazy.
And his name was Brian. He was a
we
big,
just treated
tall, white
yesterday
guy.
A guy from the Mets. We just treated an active. Well, he's no longer with the Mets. He's now with Atlanta, and I won't say his name, but he got treated both of his knees. Yeah, and
gentleman was good, and he got caught up with an addiction of, I think it was
cocaine,
methamphetamine.
You know what? I've seen a lot of athletes like,
fall down.
For instance, JoJo Diaz's old manager, that shit came out, and that Ralph Heredia had like this whole background of like cocaine stuff with the Rams. Wow. And like he had to serve 12 years of prison. This is somebody that I did extensive business with, that was like very prestigious, very wealthy guy that is running a full-on boxing promotion. And when that stuff got leaked, he called me up to come eat, to explain with a big old file folder and all this. I'm like, dude, you don't gotta explain shit to me. Like, I mean I'm not gonna judge you off of like that. Like, yeah. I'm gonna judge you of like who you are, because I understand that people change. And it's like what I told Joseph Diaz when I like consulted him. I said, hey, when you do your press conference, I said, you don't need to explain to nobody about the past, because you're no longer that person. You truly are no longer that person. So like, you know, it's like, if that's the case, then you don't need to worry about it. Like, you could talk about it. Because
the past is the past. And it's
just, and that's tough. Why I talk about it. And then I think since my doctors and providers that I work with, they see how open I am. They became open with
how
me.
How many of us talk about yesterday?
Yeah.
Nobody. All
the, well, everybody,
if anything, we're talking about what's going to happen tomorrow.
Everybody's living in their trauma and their past pain. And this is one of the things that I just really, really dove into the past 2 weeks, is that we're all carrying pain because our subconscious has soaked in every single memory since birth. Like, maybe you got dropped in the delivery room, right, Kyle? My nephew Kyle got dropped in the delivery room. Oh, but it's like, man. You know, you never, it's like, the thing is, like, all those things your brain remembers, and you don't remember in the conscious state, because you're like consciously just going, and the subconscious stores it, but you don't always remember it. But, yeah, but the brain, Rich, remembers every single detail, how you felt, how it looked, like it remembers everything. And so that's what drives why you like things, or why your brain is so quick to say no, or why you don't like needles. Probably because mom used to take you to those doctors with big old needles. She took me, dude. I remember they'd be like, bend over. I was like, ah, like it was traumatizing the way she would take us. The doctor, doctor, what's his name? Dr. Prasad was our dentist. Smiley. And Dr. Smiley, that mofo was crazy. Yeah.
He passed away recently.
He was crazy.
2 years ago.
See, he saw our family doctor up until 2 years ago that you know that he passed away.
Well, her mom was going there. I remember my mom would take me there. So when I met Denise,
he would do unnecessary. No, he would do unnecessary procedures.
Yeah,
that's what I felt. All of a sudden, I go for a doctor visit and I'd end up in the hospital. Mom be like, "They're cleaning out your ass." I'm like, "What? I'm not getting fucking that my colon clean in here. I'm 6 years old. Don't leave me in the hospital, dude." They would leave me in there for a whole week by myself.
Coast Plaza wasn't the place.
Coast
to
Plaza
be.
Was the place, and I was like, people were dying in there.
Yeah,
I swear I would see angels and shit in the middle of the night because I was like,
Roberta worked there.
I was so scared. I was like seeing shit in the middle of the night, and I'm like, oh my god, God, please be with me, because I'm like, my mom just left me. My dad, Dr. Smiley, said admit her. You didn't need to get admitted for stuff like that. But I think they were collecting on the bill. So I was a kid that was always in the hospital, and I was being left by myself. I hated it.
I remember too.
You remember I was always in the hospital.
Always.
And then I got the cancer. You didn't even know I had cancer.
I didn't.
Mom didn't tell nobody. So I didn't want to tell nobody. But finally, when I went in for the mastectomy, I figured when I was dying and flatlining that my mom was going to call everybody up, and she didn't. She just kind of dealt with it. Butch got drunk. Raul was like, oh my God, I don't know what's going on. My mom's like, I don't want you here. And my mom was dealing with it the way she knew how to deal with it. So she didn't tell my older brothers that I was in the hospital dying. And my brother had no idea. So here I am fighting for my life. I get out and I'm like, I could barely talk for like a couple days. I swear I was slurring off of propofol, morphine and all this shit. And I call my brother. It was just cancer. And, you know, they did. And he's like, what? They did what? Why didn't mom tell me? And I'm like, dude. And then, like, I think you broke down when you finally found out, because you're like, my sister.
That sucks.
And then the rest of the family was like, she just went and got a boob job. I'm like, screw you guys, dude. You guys are haters. Like, because back then, I was like one of the first cases to do reconstruct. Oh, I swear. Yeah. Auntie Laura was like, you got a boob job. And she's talking shit. I'm like, I did not get a fucking boob job. Like, what happened was I went to Santa Monica, okay? And I was super tiny, right? It was been really tiny. I was like 112 at the time. And I went to Santa Monica, and this doctor's like, we're just doing reconstruction with the mastectomy. So we no longer need to put expanders in. We could just like, do your reconstruct. I said, don't wake me up without boobs, dude. I cannot have holes in my chest. Like, you do that to me, it's like taking your penis off and leaving it off for a week. Oh, and wow. Then let's reattach it. You're not going to be the same. You're not taking my tits off like that. So we're not doing it. And I interviewed, I don't know how many surgeons. I'm like, we're not doing it unless it's done like this. And the military paid for the reconstruction. So
they did it the way you wanted.
They did. But when I woke up, I had already had Mariah and Alana, and I just had breastfed Alana, right? Semi, because Alana didn't really want to breastfeed too much, but Mariah breastfed for a whole year. So I had breastfeeding breasts. So the skin was just really loose. So when they did the mastectomy, I was maybe like a B, pushing a C pre when I had the cancer. Then I breastfed and they were C's, but they were droopy C's. You know, they're like breastfeeding, big nipple C's. Then I went and got the mastectomy, and they didn't do a lift because they weren't trying to do a lift. So they never talked to me about like what size you're going to be, yeah, or that wasn't part of it. It was like, let's just reconstruct and see what we could do, because this is experimental at this point because we've never really done it.
Yeah.
Dude, they put these Dolly Parton boobs on me. You remember how big they were?
Yeah.
I was a double D, and then when I gained weight, I was like pushing an F. They were like out here. So everybody thought I just got this boob job. And I was like, dude, I swear to God, I didn't just do this.
Oh,
like,
what's going on?
And so
here?
When I woke up, my dad was there. I'll never forget. My dad was like, please cover up, please cover up. And I was like, I didn't feel like they were mine. So I was like, boobs wide open, you know, in the room. And I'm like, oh my fucking God, call the fucking pastor. I need a prayer. Call the fucking priest down here. And I'm in St. John's in Santa Monica. I'm like rebuking everybody. I'm like, get away from me. I'm dying. And then my dad's like, my mom peeked her head in like post-recovery. And I'm like, get out. And she's like, okay. And I'm like, I want my dad. I only want to see my dad. So my dad comes in and he's like, I'm like boobs all out with freaking incisions everywhere, like freaking barely awake. And now I can laugh about it. At the time, I was like freaking couldn't even get through a couple words. And because I kept flatlining off of the morphine and the Propofol. And then something happened. All they told me was your heart didn't do well during the surgery. That's all I heard. Wow. So my blood pressure was extremely low. I don't know if I lost blood, but I had like extremely low. I became extremely iron deficient post this surgery. And this was in 2013. It was like 2012, 2013. And I had found out, I found my first lump before I went into the military. And I was already working in the medical field. So the doctor signed off. And she just said, keep an eye on it. It was a benign lump in my breast. I was 18 when I first found the lump. Then I started getting more lumps. They didn't want to do nothing about it. So in 2012, I went and wrote Beverly Hospital, their board, their medical, their board that, or whatever. I forget what board it was. But they have like a liaison that said like, hey, we're advocating or whatever. I went over there and I said, hey, you guys are not attending to my medical needs. I have all these lumps. They've changed sizes. They're now like everywhere all over my breast. Like, you guys have to do a pathology test. Like, you can't just keep saying they're benign.
Yeah.
Like, and my hair was falling out and I'm like, I'm not healthy. So they did. It was this young Asian guy that did it on me. And I remember I walked in, and that day Stephanie was with me, and Stephanie, my best friend, she had gotten cancer at the same time. I was like, what the hell? We were childhood friends. What were we playing with? What soil were we playing with that we both got cancer? She's doing great now. She got it in her lymph nodes up in here, and then I got it in my breast. But it was really weird that we're best friends. We both got cancer.
Yeah.
At the same exact time. So she was pissed off. Like, you're not showing up for me and I'm showing up for you. I'm like, dude, I'm going through it. She's like, you're going through it. So mom, that day that I had the pathology thing, mom had already known that, like, I was going through this. Mom was, like, all breast cancered out. She was wearing a pink shirt that was blinged out with the big, you know, cross thing.
Yeah.
And then she had, like, the earrings and she had the bracelets and shit. She was ready to walk for me. And I was like, and she's like, I'm showing up to your appointment. And I'm like, no, you're not. And she's like, yes, I am. I said, you're not showing up like that. Because I was pissed off at the time that cancer research couldn't even come out with the freaking protocol on eating correctly, on being alkaline. I already knew that being in the military. I was like, this is bullshit. They're collecting all this money and they can't even put people on a diet, on a proper diet.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm not walking for nobody. I'm not. So I was totally against like Susie G. Corman, like all these foundations that were pushing and it wasn't proper research. Now here I am in the space. So like, and it rightfully so. And so mom was all like breast cancered out. And she was like, you have to let me be there for you. And I said, no, I don't, because I'm fine. And she's like, you have cancer. And it was like a big fight. And I'm like, I don't give a shit. You're not going. And I'm not going to have you sitting there with the face that you make at me. Like, every time she would look at me, it was a sad ass face. You know how she can't hide it.
Yeah.
And she would just look and she'd be like, mija, would you like something to drink? And I'm like, no.
I'm not dying right here, mom.
Make me, I don't know, stop trying to cater to me right now and stop trying to just treat me normal. And it was like, she could not treat me normal. She was like, you shouldn't be eating that. And you should be. And it was always the stupidest advice. She's like, you shouldn't be out late. Because if you're out late, then you can make your cancer worse. It was like stupid shit that didn't even make sense. I'm like, that she was just pissing me off
like mom.
Left and right. I'm like, mom, that's not how it works. And she was like, yeah. And you shouldn't be going out with your hair wet. You know, it was like all of that stuff. And don't look at this, because all the Mexican things that Nana told us were kept coming out. And it was like, don't look at that because you're going to get a sty in the eye. Or don't do this. I'm like, I'm not following none of that shit. You guys are crazy, you know? I already came back from the military and my mind was already, I was a black sheep of the family, right? Because I was already like thinking different.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not going with any of this stuff. And I was like the first Christian. Everybody was still Catholic. We had done all of our sacraments. Yeah. I was like, in the military, it was Protestant churches. First time I ever seen worship. And like all these people singing, they were singing, oh, happy days. Like, I was like, everybody. And I could not, it was the most powerful thing. It was where I truly found God. Yeah. It's like, I always had my relationship with him, but that was where I felt the spirit of God just like, whoa, I seen grown men crying on their knees. And I was like, I love church. But it was like Protestant church. So when I came back, I was like, where's the Protestant church? Like California didn't have those type of churches. So I went to Inglewood and it was like too Protestant for me. It was like, yeah, they were clapping and shit. I was there like throwing people on the floor. People were crying. And I was like, okay, this is a little too much for me. I'm like, I don't know what's going on here. I didn't see this at that church. Then I went to another church and I was like, okay, this is a little bit more casual. But then they were like, we're going to bless somebody or they're going to get baptized. And it was a massive dunk tank. The guy was drowning. And I was like, whoa, this is like, I think I'm at the wrong church. And so I was like, this is too much. So I was trying to find my space. And at the time I had started going to a Calvary Chapel, Golden Springs. It was like, finally, when I like, you know, got saved and it was like a really popping church, but now it's like some, I try to go back and visit. It's like, they don't even have like kids club there anymore.
There's no music.
Like, no. And then I try to go in with my kid and they're like, sorry, ma'am, you can't come in the sanctuary with your kid. I'm like, what kind of church is this that I can't bring my kid to church? So I was like, I'm never coming back here again. Like there was no, it's like, be quiet.
You gotta find the right church.
It's not like any of them were wrong. You got to find the group that you want
that fits
to fit your you know, your way of worshiping God. So I found this little church. I found this little church and I started getting involved with the kids and the community outreach. And I started going to projects and like reading these kids and like really pastoring to them and preaching to the kids with the projects. I loved it. And then the guy that was running it, him and his wife became my first real Christian friends. And they bought me my first Bible. They were older. I was like 23, 24. Had already gone through the whole cancer thing. Was walking around with these big old triple D's boobs, you know, that I couldn't afford to get out of me because it was considered plastic surgery. And it was like, I could no longer run like, you know, what I was used to. Like all my workouts and all that stuff, it sucked.
Stay original, people. Girls, stay original.
It's true. Yeah. And so then I, you know, it was crazy, bro. Like this freaking, this pastor got me a job, right? That was when I was working at the oil refinery as a safety medic.
I remember that.
And I was climbing the structure. It was a badass job. Everybody wanted to get in. I was getting like $150 to show up on time. It was the only job I ever showed up on time to. That in the military because I was scared. Yeah. But like that was just per diem, just to show up on time. Then you get, you're like 35 an hour, but you're working like 100 hours in a week. Man. Dude, I've it was crazy. And I was working nights. Like, and then again, I was working with all men. So every job I've ever worked in, sheriff's department, when I was interning there, the detective bureau, and then with the military. Like, everything's been primarily dominant men.
Yeah.
Because I grew up around men, you know. It was my comfort zone. But anyways, this guy who became my friend got me the job, right? He was a big Christian guy. He freaking, he gets me into Flying Pains because, like, hey, I'm taking flight lessons. I could afford it. So I was like, dude, I'm going to go start learning how to do aviation. I go and I'm flying the little Cessnas over Long Beach Airport. Do you remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, all in love, like, oh, dude, I'm going to get my pilot license. And so I'm doing this. And then one day I come down and his name was Gabriel.
He was the pilot instructor.
He was the something, Gabriel A. I forget his name or whatever, but he was the pastor. He was my friend that got me the job, oh, right? Okay. And I was best friends with his wife, like truly. There was no malplay in there whatsoever. Like, never flirted with the guy. I used to go to church with them and go with the kids, right? Well, this guy secretly fell in love with me, like out of nowhere. And then all of a sudden I come out of flight school and my car's gone and he like moved Mariah's car seat into the Mercedes Benz. I'm like, fucking, they're like, oh, Mr. Gabriel left the keys here for you. I'm like, what the fuck? And he had just bought that car for his wife. And she's calling me. She would call me every day. And I'm like, dude, I can't answer today. He's fucking left his car. And I'm like, dude, why would you do that? What are you trying to do? Bring back. And I had this little hoopty at the time. And he's like, you can't be driving that hoopty. I'm like, that's not for you to say. Like, I make great money. I drive this hoopty because I'm freaking driving back and forth from Hemet all the way to freaking, you know, Torrance. I go, we carpool. That's what we do. This is what we do with these cars, you know? I'm like, I'm not trying to get a nice car and drive into that dirt and rock. So he freaking, like, he was like, okay, I'll show up in the morning. So I tell mom, and mom's like, I think this guy likes you. So Richard and her are like, it's like the upstairs downstairs at the old house. So upstairs downstairs home. So they're looking outside. He shows up at like 6 a.m. and they're looking out the window and I'm pissed. Like, why would you put me in this position? Like, your wife's my best friend. Like, I have this whole outreach that I do for the kids, like, and I look up to you guys so highly because I used to praise them. I was like, dude, you guys brought me closer to God. But God was about to teach me a big lesson. And it was like showing me that people are real, that this kind of stuff happens, you know, and like, you don't put anybody before me.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And so this guy's like, I want to be with you. Like, I love you. I'll give you everything. And I'm like, what? Like, I mean, this was out of left field.
Oh, wow.
Left field. I didn't even know what to tell his wife. I felt so bad. Like, she, like, I don't, she probably, he probably had done this before because he was in his 40s. I was like young.
Yeah.
And she probably knew what was going on, but I wasn't even trying to entertain that. I was like, dude, I was scared. I didn't want to answer their phone calls. Oh, wow. I was so scared. And then he started showing up when I wasn't there, giving mom money and shit, like, oh, buy this, buy that. And I'm like, mom, you better stop taking that guy's money. Like, we grew up poor. I'm like, you better stop taking that guy's money. He's not allowed in here. I will never talk to you again. So she did. She cut him off. And but I mean, really, the moral of the story is that, like, that's where God taught me that people are human and you don't trust nobody because everybody's capable of fucking up.
Yeah.
And then I realized that, like, everybody in the industry, all the doctors, like, they've had crazy ex-wives that have tried to destroy their lives. Yeah. They've been in jail. You're like, what?
Stay in,
like,
your own lane.
Well, even then, but it's like, you know, you can't judge a book by a cover. For me, like, everybody sees me so well put together. That's why I wanted the podcast, because they have no idea what my background consisted of. I was telling Denise, I'm like, dude, remember when I used to sleep on your couch? Like, I had $20 in my pocket. Like,
Denise always brings that story up. And I sometimes forgot about it, and I think about it. I'm like, dude, that's right.
And I remember the first person, because I was already out of the military and all this stuff. And I was trying to figure myself out. But what happened was, the reason why I ended up broke was I was married, right? And this guy was cheating on me. And I was like, I have to leave. So I only had a credit card. I have $5,000 on the credit card. I had to leave. And I was all the way in Florida and shit. I had a pack of U-Haul.
Call your dog, your sister. She has the girls. And she's
one girl, one girl.
From,
I had one.
Just Mariah.
It was Mariah with my lab, my black lab, Cookie.
Call her. She's by herself.
I jumped on the thing. And then I realized that the bench, after I drove all the way across the United States, it was like a week-long drive. I found out that... no plumbing calls on the podcast, please. We're almost done. Cut your shit out, Rich. And so, anyways, yeah.
Jay tips off in a half hour.
All right. So his daughter's got basketball. It was so hard to get this guy on. Yeah, he's harder than the damn Canelo's manager, dude, to get him in here.
There is a part 2 coming soon, though.
Yeah. No, but anyways, long story short, we've had a tough upbringing. We really were independent. Raul didn't have to go through that because, I mean, Raul was, my mom had Raul when she was already older and had her shit together. But I mean, we had to go through like generations of like poverty, coming from Mexico, not having, we used to share chili cheese fries, right? Oh, and that shit, I hated that. Like, Wiener Schnitzels only had like the little thing and we had to share it. We were all still hungry. And Nana would be like, oh, you're going to get potatoes. We're like, we don't want potatoes. We want that.
Her favorite spot was Burger King and she would split
the burger. And it would get me mad. Like, I wanted the whole burger.
In three ways.
But she was a budgeter.
I stood humble. I still ate my piece.
Of course, I ate my half shit. But
Raul had his own number two.
Yeah, Raul's freaking spoiled as shit.
Not with Nana. Nana used to feed me bean and egg burritos from the green burrito.
That's why he's still like bean and cheese burritos all the time.
I used to walk with Nana and Tata and pick up cans.
Yeah.
Oh, I did that at Angel Stadium.
Passed out in the wagon.
Yeah. My grandpa had a wagon. He would, like, a bike and shit that he would pull, and they would collect cans. It was the most embarrassing thing.
Oh, he did it at Angel Stadium.
He would do it everywhere, and he would do it in the area where, like, my friends all knew, and then they would take us skating, and me and George would be, like, so embarrassed. Like, we're just going to go far ahead because he would recycle. And I'm like, so when I got older, I'm like, oh, maybe I should recycle. And then I seen, like, I got 10 bucks off of, like, a party. I'm like, fuck this shit, dude. I'm not recycling. Like, I'm not collecting cans and smashing them like he did. But I mean, like, yeah, now I realize as an adult that like recycling is about the principle. It's a principle
to do it. I think he just did it to do it.
For me now, it's like the principle of recycling.
He would use the coupon. He would find like a coupon in the Penny Saver and then take them all the way to like Compton to go waste more in gas and use a coupon that would give him like extra cents per pound.
I swear to God, it was 15 cents.
And then all of their kids, my uncles and my aunts, would collect the cans and he would come by and pick them up. And like every time
I would see
them
at school during PE.
Shut up. In the back of Santa Fe.
No, this is at Lake Center.
Oh, Lake Center.
Oh, and he's just.
And it was so embarrassing. And rest in peace, my thought that I was actually going to wear his shirt today. Because Denise sent you a video of you on the way today and you were wearing your Breakthrough Plumbing sweater, right? Oh. So I knew, and I was like,
that was close. A private video.
I thought you were going to be wearing your angel gear.
Oh, I was. You were,
and Tata, the one thing that I got from Tata was an angel shirt. And so it still smells like him no matter how many times I wash it. I swear to God. It's like Nina's house. You know how the clothes just doesn't lose that? And sometimes I sleep on it. I sleep in it. I'm like, getting choked up.
Yeah. I love you, Tata.
Memories.
Yes.
He raised me.
Yeah. Even though he chased me with the broom a couple times. I probably meant it, though.
I remember just sitting on the back of his little white truck that, I mean, you didn't have.
There'd be eight of us in that whole little thing.
You didn't have seatbelts back then. It was just a made up bench.
Yeah. It wasn't even a cab.
It was like this wide to my ass as a 100-pound-year-old, like 4-foot
no
kid.
No seatbelt.
So he raised me. I think that's why it's so emotional. Even though I had my mom and my dad, he was the one that all the way up until my daughter Mariah was born. I mean, he was like in his 90s. I swear he was like, I'm going to walk her to kindergarten. He really showed up when I was in the military. He was the only one that flew out for me. And I never, ever seen this man in a bad mood. He would sing. I would wake up to his Norteño music. He watched the news. He was a sports person. So I watched the news. He took me all the Dodger games, all that stuff. And thank you. And he was such a good man. He was such a good example of what a man should be like, a gentleman. Nana would always yell at him and he would laugh. He would do jokes, you know? Like he was a good... I guess you could say like example of what a man should be in our life, because I mean, we didn't grow up with, you know, the best role models.
No.
You know, everyone ever says like, who raised you? And I'm like, God did, because and then I came back and raised my parents because I had to take them out of that mentality of like poverty and all of that stuff. So for me, I was telling somebody yesterday, I'm like, dude, I was a stupid kid. Like I wasn't like the straight A student that my kids are.
Yeah.
I was like, it took me like third grade to learn how to read. I didn't understand that I was dyslexic. I was extremely smart and bored. And that's why I was like always getting in trouble. I didn't understand any of it.
Yeah.
now I homeschool my kids because I see, and I'm like, dude, you're just like me. You're dyslexic and like, you're totally fine, you know? And I'm like, but like we, but it's also allowed them to like be like excel in so many other ways in the homeschooling. Yeah. And so like, I guess you're told like, this is what your worth is. Like I had this teacher that told me I was never going to make it in the medical field because I kept failing his science classes. And it was like,
oh, wow.
Swear to God. And then after all these years, I like tweeted something like, I don't know, it was like 3 years ago. And I was like, you know, teachers and like influencers should never tell kids that they can't be something. Cause the kid, like I was told, and I would always fail my math in my science classes. But then it's like, I own a biotech and I fully understand the science. I know big numbers.
Yeah.
I'm like, billions doesn't scare me. Trillions doesn't scare me. I'm working in big numbers. Yeah. And my whole thing is like, I've never bragged like, oh, I'm a millionaire because I feel broke. I forever have the broke mentality because that's, I just keep, it keeps rolling and growing.
That's
and it's
the way
like,
we think and that's but, what we're
but
it, it's over with now.
Yeah. But my whole thing is like, I was told that this is what your worth is, right? By a teacher in high school. And I graduated with probably like a 2 point something. Nobody ever talked to me about college, but junior, senior year, I was going to college part-time. And then I was like, screw this, dude. I'm going to the military. I got to get the hell out of here. You guys were like, what?
Like, where are you going?
Yeah, everyone was like, what are you doing? You guys didn't believe me. And then when I took off, you guys were like, what the hell? And I came back buff. Remember that? Me and you got in a fist fight. Remember that?
I remember.
I kicked your ass. You had a black eye. My relationship with my brothers has always been like very hands-on, very like we grew up fighting.
Yeah.
I think in Santa Fe at a game, we got in a fist fight once. Like it's like with a bunch of dudes and I got clipped by a guy.
Oh,
it was like we grew up. Okay, long story short, guys, I grew up ghetto. I made it. I never forget where I came from. And I'm a very smart individual now. I'm very happy like where I've been, but I'm never gonna stop telling my story because people that are in that story need to know that you could be whatever the hell you want and nothing's gonna define you.
Yeah.
Nothing is going to define your past and it's okay to move on. We just started doing a lot of ketamine. I want you to do ketamine. It's a hallucinogen. Okay. But it's given by a doctor and it taps into your subconscious state, the stuff that you don't remember that hurts you, your fears. So you can face it. For instance, I'm very fearful of a snake and I hate snakes, dude. So all of a sudden I'm doing this ketamine treatment with Dr. Jason in his office and I become a snake. And I'm like this freaking rattlesnake that's snapping super fast. And I'm like, I felt the conscious state of a snake. And I felt like I loved being a snake.
Yeah.
I loved how strong I felt as a snake. And the fear of the snake went away. I woke up. I was like, no more fear of snakes. So ketamine is really good for depression and all that other stuff. I would definitely like you to try it. You need to get your stem cell thing done, too.
I need it
too.
Now. ASAP.
You need ketamine?
Yes.
What? You don't even know what ketamine is,
no,
Rich.
No, I need my stem cell.
Yeah, well, I'm not giving you stem cells until you try ketamine.
I can barely sit for so long.
Why? Why do you keep... It's that bad now?
Yeah.
You guys, he's just being so dramatic because he is being so dramatic right now because he wants his stem cell treatment. He's like, fuck, yeah, I'm not waiting for the ketamine. He's like, oh my God, I'm stretching now. It's so bad. You know, my mom does the same thing to me. She's like, oh. I'm like, come on, you guys want stem cells for everything now. You know what? Your whole life you went away with no stem cells. Now that you guys get all stem cells, Rawl's the only one that's like, I'm going to save mine until I need them. I'm like, dude, just get them.
Well, I need it now.
I will get it for you now. He's got his daughter's game. She's a senior now.
She's buzzing me.
She's probably buzzing me. She's probably the one calling me right now. She's like, Auntie Cal.
I love you, sis.
This is my nanny calling. She's like, ma'am, where are you at? Come get your kids. They've been acting up. Bebe's kids.
But I appreciate it, sis. I love you. I hate to cut it short.
I love. Do you see this guy? I got the most prominent people on my podcast, and ain't nobody said I'm sorry to cut it short.
I love you, sis.
Turn around, show your company real quick, so everybody knows he's a plumber.
Talk about look your at company. That.
Breakthrough Plumbing and Router. Woo, 562. He's in the 562 LA area, but he's 24-hour service. He fucked up by saying that because he got no boundaries, this guy. Look at him flexing with your little ass.
call for all your plumbing needs.
Oh no, he's gonna be plumbing the wrong stuff. He's gonna be clearing the wrong lines.
I love you. I love you.
I love you. Peace, 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 angels, baby.
Got shit.
Oh, hold on, real quick. Real quick. I need 2 minutes of your time. 2 minutes. Can you give me 2 minutes real quick?
Yes.
Okay. What is the worst plumbing job that you've ever had?
Oh, wow. There was this one I went to, and she warned me before I went into the restroom. The door was closed and everything. So when I came in, she goes,
hold on. Give me some context. Is it an older lady, younger lady?
Actually, a younger lady.
Okay.
Young. And I go in, and she goes, okay. I go, where's the problem? She goes, it's in the restroom right there. So the door's closed, and she goes in front of me. She goes, before I open the door, I'm going to warn you, it's bad. Well, how bad could it be? I mean, okay, I've seen crap in the toilet and whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, when I walked in, it felt like she grabbed it and threw paint. It was poop, crap, shit everywhere. Everywhere.
So the toilet exploded or what?
It just went everywhere. She goes, I don't know how it got like that. So
that's a Dumb and Dumber episode.
That was the worstest thing. And like, I came in with the water hose.
Shit is all over the walls.
Come on. How did that happen?
Did the toilet explode?
She said she don't know how it happened.
She's a liar,
she had a party
dude.
The night before.
So somebody threw shit on the wall. There was a hater.
It was everywhere.
This was a hater.
So that's
some
probably,
hater grabbed their own shit, was fucked up, and said, fuck you, bitch.
But yeah, that was pretty.
So she had a party, and it was clogged?
It was, yeah, she couldn't use the toilet. And this was the night, and then the next morning when she went to the toilet, it was clogged. And then when she called me and I showed up,
yeah,
2 hours later.
Yeah, but there was shit on the wall. Did you ask her at what point did the shit happen on the wall?
She said she walked in and was just everywhere. So
you had to clean it all up?
Clean it all up.
You cleaned the walls?
I cleaned everything.
How do you do that with bleach?
Yeah, just I went with the water hose. And everything came down and just shot back.
Sir, who certified you?
Yeah.
She had a stinky bill at the end. She had a stinky bill. Hold on. Dude, because sometimes you send me some fucking videos of like plumbing shit. I'm like, why is he sending me this? Like, you send me videos of like, and Denise is like so into it. She's like, look at this overflow. I'm like, why are you guys sending me this shit? I don't want to see shit overflowed. And you're like, look, and then you unclog it and all the shit comes out. And you're like, it's almost like you have like a, like, does this satisfy you to see plumbing like clear?
I have
like
a shitty attitude after.
Man, that's some shit.
Yeah, it is. But
oh my God.
I love it. It's something
You love it.
I love doing it.
You love clearing shit.
Yes, I do.
That is like the weirdest thing I've ever heard. You like clearing lines, dude?
No,
you don't like the shit part.
No, but that's
because that's what it sounded like.
Plumbing's part of shit. It's part of it. It's, you know? Even if you just have to plunger a toilet, a lot of people don't even want to plunger a toilet.
Shut up. You get calls for plunging toilets?
Yes.
You're such a liar,
no,
Rich. How much
lying.
Did you charge to plunge a toilet?
$120.
Oh, my God. $120 a plunger?
It takes about 5 minutes.
Dude, you should do ads for fucking just that.
That's what I'm saying. Well, it's not a plunger what they use. They use as an auger.
An auger?
It's like a plunger, and it goes through the toilet.
What about bidets? Do you see a lot of
people have bidets?
Them,
yeah, I put them on.
I want to put a bidet.
I put them on.
Do a lot of people have bidets?
Yes.
My last business owner had put on a bidet, huh?
Yeah. You can buy them, too.
I think she said her husband made a comment saying that during COVID, he didn't even use toilet paper because he was just washing
his ass.
You still
got to dry your ass, though. So I don't know. They
what,
used
what
to have a
using?
Towel right
what
there.
What were you using?
They got to dry your ass. I mean, unless
he
you
was probably walking around with a fucking
wet
ass. He was probably throwing his boxers on with his ass wet during COVID. He was like, ain't no toilet paper, no problem. Danielle, I love you.
Oh, yeah. Love you, Danielle.
All right, brother.
Okay,
I love you.
Love
Check
you guys.
It out.
See you.
Bye.
Peace.